Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust. Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, the show that takes you into the brain of a Ghostbuster and finds out what makes them tick. I am your fill-in host for Patrick over the next few weeks, Bob Anderson. I am the director of the show, and this was my baby for a while until I had to give it up, but it's still really cool to it's cool to see it blossom, and it's really cool to be able to come back and host once in a while. So you'll be seeing my face and hearing my voice over the next few weeks while Patrick is having new babies. So congratulations, Patrick and the missus, for new baby.
Yes.
Yes. So new baby. you guys will be seeing me a little bit more over the next few episodes. And with me, as always, is the producer and, as Patrick calls him, the central nervous system for the Why We Bust show, Jim Norman, or as I refer to him as, Norm.
What up?
Hello, Norm. How have you been?
Good. I just came back from Florida. Weather was fantastic. Got to finally go to Galaxy's Edge. And it was an experience, man.
That's great. I'm really excited for you. And now you're back in the real world hosting the show again with me.
Yes, I am.
Yes. All right. And because I'm not as cool as Patrick, I don't have this week in Ghostbusters trivia for you. So instead, I will share with you guys my favorite Ghostbusters memory of all time, which has to do with a Ghostbusters trivia question, and it relates to our guest this week. Several years ago, we were living through this wonderful pandemic called the COVID-19 pandemic, and boy howdy, ruined a lot of people's lives. And one of the things I wanted to do was to try to liven spirits across the world, as you would say. And I hosted a Ghostbusters trivia contest between a bunch of different franchises across America. And it was Windy City hosted it. It was a good time, raised a ton of money. But what I'm getting at is my favorite memory of being a Ghostbuster of all time is I look down because I helped come up with the questions. It was a combo of like five of us that sat down and did it. But our guest this week had the greatest look on their face I have ever seen on a person ever, because their screen was right dead center in the middle of my Zoom call. So when I looked down and saw them, this was the question that came up. And this was one that I came up with, which was how many points did the Dow Jones drop according to the front page of the Wall Street Journal or New York Times?
USA Today.
How many points did the Dow Jones drop on the USA Today? According to the newspaper. And I looked up from asking the question, and the look on this gentleman's face is my absolute favorite memory of that thing, other than raising all the ton of money we did. But it was such a rewarding experience knowing that I ruined somebody's life that bad. Everybody, let me introduce to you my friend and fellow board game enthusiast, which we will definitely talk about, Choo Choo Boy himself, Ryan Espen of the New York City Ghostbusters.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there. Now, everybody in chat, can you put a hashtag Choo Choo, H-C-H-O-O-C-H-O-O.
Oh, you told me to grab the... Hang on.
Let me. Yeah, grab the I'm sorry. Here. We got to get that going. Now, I promise you, folks, I will explain what the choo choo. I promise you, there's a whole reason behind this. And look,
he's got even got his own
train whistle. Choo choo. Okay, so I promise you, we will explain what that means. But Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to be here. And I am honored and grateful to be part of the Why We Bust catalog now. So
you will be, yes. It's really cool to have you. Ryan, your role on the New York City Ghostbusters is
President.
President. That's correct. I apologize. Usually I like to have these things written down, but I didn't. So Ryan is the president of New York City Ghostbusters. He is also the co-host of one of the best board game podcasts you're going to find on the internet, called the Tabletop Express. Which we'll talk about a little bit, obviously, because the choo-choo thing, people are probably curious why we're saying choo-choo in chat. Yep. So Ryan, tell us, we're going to take you way back to the very beginning.
Yep.
What is your earliest memory of being a of Ghostbusters, of any aspect of the franchise?
So for sure, definitely watching the movie as a kid on TV. I don't remember the first time I saw Ghostbusters. It was just always there. I also had a treasured VHS that I would just, I think it was, must have been like one Saturday morning that was recorded, where it had Pee-wee's Playhouse, and it had real Ghostbusters, specifically the episode where I think like Egon turns into like a bird or something. I was told it was not a very good episode. I haven't watched it since. Definitely one of the later year episodes of real Ghostbusters. And then I do remember also going and seeing the Ghostbusters at Universal Studios for the Spooktacular, which was a bit mind-blowing to see the Ghostbusters in real life.
Did you see Wayne Brady?
I don't have pictures with Wayne Brady, and I don't believe he was.
Was he the cast member during that, when you saw him?
I don't believe he was. At least in the pictures, it's definitely not Wayne Brady. But I did check to see if I had pictures of Wayne Brady.
That is fair. In case people are curious, the connection between Wayne Brady and Ghostbusters was Wayne Brady played in the, what's the proper term, stage?
The Ghostbusters Spooktacular.
Yes, the Ghostbusters Spooktacular, which was like a stage show at Universal Studios Florida, correct? Yep. And they did like a live action play of Ghostbusters, and he was in he was the Winston. Cast. He was Winston.
One of
the Winstons. Obviously not the time Ryan saw him, but
no, and it was cool too, because they would just like kind of go around the park in the Ecto. So it was them, and also like, you know, the Blues Brothers would go around the park in their car as well too. So that was always pretty cool to see.
So when you're this kid and you're growing up with Ghostbusters, what does it mean to you? Because especially back then as a kid, was it like one of your favorite properties? Was it your favorite property? Did you, you know, revisit it often?
Oh, it was top of the class. It was every year Ghostbusters was like my favorite thing. So during that lull in the 90s, when there wasn't much Ghostbusters except for Extreme Ghostbusters, I would wake up every morning at 6:30 to watch it on UPN9. And I did not like any episode really. But I watched every single one.
You monster.
I know. I get a lot of hate for disliking Extreme Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you're off the show, man. That's my favorite. You know that.
I know. But I did like the back in the saddle.
Show early.
It was worth it for back. It was worth it for back in the saddle when the original guys come back. And then in the 90s, it must have been 95 or 96, we got a computer. So, you know, I go on AOL, look up anything Ghostbusters. So I'd go to, Bill Eskimo's, whatever his last name is. I always thought it was Bill Eskimo. He had the Ghostbusters homepage that I would check out. And then there was Mr. Stay Puft World O' Sounds, which still exists. Proton Charging as well. And Spook Central was around then too. So I would go to all these different websites. I started my own website for it too.
What was it called?
It was called Internet Ghostbusters. It was a Ghostbusters RPG set in an AOL chat room, and we would go and bust ghosts with people.
That's adorably nerdy, right?
It was pretty nerdy.
No, that's fine. Look, man.
I also got blacklisted by Spook Central because I hot linked one of their images for the Internet Ghostbusters website, and you know, I'm like a kid, but apparently that's not what you do. So Elwood 1987 was blacklisted from Spook Central.
Would you like to pay them an apology all these years later in case one of them catches the podcast?
Sure. Paul, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Can we unblacklist Ryan now?
That's okay. You can keep me on the blacklist.
What if he went and unblacklisted?
Well, keep Elwood 1987 on the blacklist. You know, I didn't put my actual name.
That's fair. So, well, you're doing all this stuff, right? And mm-hmm. you're growing up and you're getting a little older, and the concept of seeing your first Ghostbuster cosplayer comes up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how old you are during this time.
But I was in high school.
Tell us the story.
So I was in high school. I was blown away seeing, I must have been like 13 or something, or 14, going to a local convention and seeing a couple of people dressed up like Ghostbusters. It was kind of crazy. Like, oh, I could do that. So I looked it up too. Like, you know, like I looked up, you know, Norm's plans on how to build a proton pack, a ghost trap. You know, and there was also the Ghostbusters role-playing game online too. And I saw some of the groups too. There was a Ghostbusters New Jersey group. And it was, you know, it was just crazy to see that people are doing this. Every time I go to a convention, I would hope to see a Ghostbuster. And after that point, it wasn't until like New York Comic Con in 2009 when I saw my next ever Ghostbuster.
What happened in 2009?
I said I just saw a Ghostbuster. End of story. I kind of like asked, hey, cool pack. That's about it.
You know, okay. That's
nothing special.
So when did you complete your first rendition of a cosplay then?
So in 2011, you know, by the way, I would check Proton Charging every single day. Proton Charging Online for Ghostbusters News. This is before like Ghostbusters News was Ghostbusters News. This is proto for Ghostbusters News. It would be Chris Stewart, and he would put different articles up, and I would check every day, is Ghostbusters 3 happening? And I would check every day from like 97 onward. And one day, there was a casting for a Ghostbusters shadow cast in New York City called The Minions of Gozer. So a shadow cast is a live performance of a film directly in front of the film, much like the Rocky Horror Picture Show was like the original shadow cast. They were doing one for Ghostbusters in New York. So that was when I answered the call. So I sent an email out to the organizer, Angela, and I said, listen, I will be anyone from Peter Venkman down to the redheaded extra that goes Ghostbusters. All right, all right. I am committed to doing this. So I go and I meet Angela at a movie theater that's closed down now called the Landmark Sunshine. I met her and she was told me that there's gonna be another Ghostbuster guy there that already has the costumes ready to go. So I'm like, okay, I really got to do this. So I, you know, went down the rabbit hole, got a Rothko suit, got the belts and all the key fobs and the pee hose, and I was ready to impress on the audition. And then sure enough, I got the part. So I was Venkman in Minions of Gozer, and our first show was in 2011, November of 2011, at the IFC Center, which was used to be called the Waverly Theater, which is where they did the first ever Rocky Horror Picture Show shadow cast. We were doing it at the same theater on the same stage as that. And it was wild. Like, we got to dress up and recreate Ghostbusters all in front of the screen. And it was chaotic. There was a lot of costume changes. Venkman having the most, but not the hardest, just the most. And it was just a blast. We did a couple shows there. We did some shows at BB King's in Times Square. We did some shows in Staten Island where I met Chris Sorrentino. So there was a yeah, it was crazy, all that stuff.
How do you get from being a stage actor to boots on the ground, Ghostbusters with a group?
So when I started in 2011, New York City Ghostbusters was not yet established. At least the current iteration of New York City Ghostbusters was not yet established, because there were a couple of tries to get it going, but where it is now, that really didn't start until 2012. And the thing about doing the stage show is I love dressing up like a Ghostbuster, but it's only during the stage show. You know, I don't get to kind of do anything else. But when you walk, when you're dressing up like a Ghostbuster in New York City and promoting a stage show, people are just excited to see a Ghostbuster. And New York, you know, you're very much in the mindset of, I do not accept flyers from strangers. But everyone got a flyer from a Ghostbuster. Because it's New York City. They don't care. They want to see a Ghostbuster and see what I'm peddling. So, yeah, I was like, hey, you know, come to our show. It's great. So there was that excitement of dressing up like a Ghostbuster in New York City that was completely surreal. And after, as Minions of Gozer kept going, we wouldn't do as frequent. We didn't do shows as frequently. It wasn't like Rocky Horror where we had every single weekend there'd be a Ghostbuster screening. It just wasn't established. So we slowed down. I attended a Ghostbusters trivia night. And that's where I met Eric, the president of New York City Ghostbusters at the time, because he was the table that had more points than my table. I was very, very annoyed by that. So later on, I would meet Eric and we would talk about what we did through Minions of Gozer. And how I met him specifically is Minions of Gozer did a special short appearance at a movie theater in Washington Heights, where David Margulies, the mayor, from Ghostbusters, Mayor Lenny, was going to be there. And we were all excited to meet Mayor Lenny. It was also organized by a guy that we cared nothing about. His name was Lin-Manuel Miranda. So, yeah, so Lin-Manuel was the host MC of this thing. It was pre-Hamilton. And we go on stage, myself and Aliko, who was Ray at the time, we do the whole ballroom scene of capturing the ghost live on stage. And I grabbed Eric because, like, you know, we need an Egon for this. Do you want to jump in? And he got a sense of what we do. So we, like, during the whole ballroom scene, we hold like rope lights and just start shaking them to make it look like a proton stream. It works great. So we had, you know, people loved it. They had a great time. But we were also, you know, I was like, who are these New York City Ghostbuster guys? Then comes that in 2014, the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters, there is a gathering of of New York City Ghostbusters to do a walking tour of all the different filming locations from Ghostbusters. So I'm like, yeah, I'll be a part of that because A, I love doing that, and B, I already had done a Ghostbusters walking tour prior. Because during Minions of Gozer, we rose our funds through Kickstarter, and one of the pledges was have a tour with the Ghostbusters. And only two people signed up for that tour, and that was the first ever New York City Ghostbuster tour that I ever did without New York City Ghostbusters. So when the 2014 New York City Ghostbuster tour happened, I also volunteered to help, you know, talk about the tour, talk about the locations. And that's what we did. And at the lunch, we talked, and they asked me to join the group. And I said, yeah, I'll join the group. And here I am now, doing my thing.
What was your first couple events like, being a part of the organization and being off the stage?
Yeah. So 2014... was, you know, the anniversary. So there was a lot of things going on that year. I believe this year Harold Ramis passed away too.
Yeah. Right?
2014. So I remember, actually, yeah, it was that year because I think it was when was that? If it was before, I forget if it was before or after. I remember it being cold. So it probably was like what, February or something. And you know, that was an event, I guess I did without New York City Ghostbusters, but we went to the firehouse and, you know, I brought a Slinky to put, cause people brought like Twinkies and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll bring a Twinkie. I mean, I'll bring a Slinky and we'll bring it on the side over there. I'm just trying to, you know, we did a slime lab that year. Actually, we did one over at a library over in Rockaway Beach, like the Ramones song.
Rockaway
Beach. So we went there, and we ran our slime lab. We also, and that was like one of the earliest slime labs. We had like a photo section. And one of the guys in the group, Chris Beaumont, he also is the guy who does Kubi craft, which like are like the paper craft, you know, they look like, I mean, now this is like pre-Minecraft, but they look like the Minecraft guy, but they were, you know, all like, you make your own Funko Pop essentially out of paper. So we had some Ghostbuster ones there. So we had like a Marshmallow Man and a Firehouse. And then that was the same year too, where we did the, you know, we went to New York, we did the tour again for October, for Halloween time. And at that point we were trying to get what New York City Ghostbusters was about, because we wanted to focus on a charity. And one thing that we did like doing was we liked doing STEM education. So we did a couple of events where, you know, like we incorporate slime making. We did an event over at Brickfest, which was a Lego convention, and we did our slime lab there, and that was a big hit. Like they absolutely loved it. So we did like a whole stage show. You know, I, going back to the Ghostbusters Spooktacular, I took some inspiration to have like Walter Peck come in and kind of shut us down. And so it was a lot of fun like writing that up, and we were writing it at the Barnes and Noble in Tribeca. So we were like in the cafe just writing it all up, and then we walked to the firehouse for ideas and stuff. It was a cool time.
So usually how the show works is the first half we'll talk usually about you and your background and everything, and then the second half we'll start talking about the NYC Ghostbusters as a whole.
Yeah.
I'd be doing a severe misjustice if we didn't talk about this lovely collection behind you and what your life is like outside of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Ryan and I actually met back-to-back times in 2016, one of which was at the Answer the Call premiere. And then the second time was at a certain convention called Gen Con.
Yep.
And little did I know, all these years later, we'd still be bonding over a very similar hobby. So, Ryan, tell us about what your life is like when you're not ghostbusting.
First of all, I'm not ghostbusting. I am a father.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's not a hobby. That's a life thing.
Yeah.
But I'm a really heavy board gamer. I've been in the board game, like heavy board game scene since like 2005. And I've just been, I play a lot of board games. I love playing board games. I have a giant collection behind me, which I just reorganized and finished today. Cause I like to, you know, put them in specific orders and, you know, And that year, 2016, was the year I was getting married. So my bachelor party, I wanted to go to Gen Con, cause I've never been to Gen Con. So during that weekend, the Sunday is the cosplay day, and I dressed up, you know, in my gear. My brother also, I let him use my Minions of Gozer stuff, and he wore that. And, you know, I ran into you, Bob, and we were walking around.
We did the parade together.
We did. We did the cosplay parade. I remember, like, a Harley Quinn cosplayer, like, used their hammer on the back of my Proton pack. And I was a little annoyed by that.
Ryan, we have a question in the chat from XP Bandit. They want to know, what's your favorite non-Ghostbusters board game?
Ooh.
And what is your favorite Ghostbusters-related board game? You're going to be very surprised about the second half of that question.
Yeah. Well, let me start with the second half. Then.
That's fine.
Let me start with the second half, because I love board games, and I really dislike most Ghostbuster board games. I think a lot of them are really badly, poorly designed. There's a lot of cash grabbing in there. I'm not a fan of a lot of them. However, of official Ghostbuster licensed board games, the one that is the best is Ghostbusters and Men in Black Ecto-Terrestrial Invasion, which is like uses like chibi looking Ghostbusters and Men in Black, and you have to pair yourself with one Ghostbuster and one Men in Black character, and you're kind of just doing different missions through this episodic thing. But it's also semi-co-op, but why does it need to be semi-co-op? I don't know. So anyways, that's the best one. But I wouldn't spend more than like $60 on it. I think the Kickstarter for it was like 130, which is ridiculous for that game.
That's why I don't own it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got it on Amazon for like $60. It's based off of the live action movies, but they look very PB. And Will Smith has a beard in it, so Asian J. So I guess licensing for his likeness maybe was a thing.
Probably.
So the closest game. So there's a couple. I really like this other game that's right over my corner over here. It's called Vagrant Song, which you're kind of fighting ghosts, but not really. But you're like on a train doing it. And I like trains, so I like board games for trains. Train board games. My favorite board game of all time is called Food Chain Magnate, where it's a very you're basically just moguls that are running fast food restaurants, and you're also in charge of the advertising and telling people exactly what they want, and they will go to the closest and cheapest place that offers exactly what they want. Or and then you can really like mess up with people. It's a lot of fun.
I was expecting a train game. I thought you were gonna tell me
it's not a train game. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of do you have love for Ticket to Ride at least?
I do like Ticket to Ride.
Okay.
No love. Cool. I like it. My favorite train game is called Age of Steam. It's a very very angry train game.
Now you and I also have something else in common. You run a web show based on board gaming. I don't do a web show based on board gaming, but I do have a web show. Is what I'm getting at. Have a web show. I'm sorry, Ryan. I goofed that up.
You do it again. Sorry.
Okay. Ryan and I have something in common. Also, other than Ghostbusters and love of board gaming, we're both web hosts as well. Ryan, in the beginning of the show, we talked about the hashtag choo-choo, and I called you the choo-choo boy.
That's right.
Now, there is a reason for this. We're not just going completely mad here. Tell us why you are choo-choo boy, and what is the choo-choo movement?
So there's no movement.
There's a movement.
So I am one of the co-conductors on the Tabletop Express. We do weekly shows every Wednesday night on YouTube. You could find us on YouTube at Tabletop Express. Every other week, we do a live call-in show called Call Aboard, which I'm super proud of because I've always wanted a board game call-in show, and now we're doing it. So we have different topics all the time. We're doing a live, as of the recording right now, we're doing a live playthrough this week of this game called Floristry. We'll also be doing our top 2-player games of all time this month as well, too. Anyways, I have a lot of fun doing it. I do it with two other gentlemen, Anthony and Chris Barros, who started the channel, and I met him through Facebook during COVID times. And now here we are. He's in the town over, so...
XP Bandit in chat says, that sounds like a fun format for our show. I'm an MTG player, and one of the most recent sets was a modern horror set. Mm-hmm. It had lots of tropes, but it did have some Ghostbusters-related cards as well as other series. Ever consider that game?
Consider Magic the Gathering? Yes. Commit to Magic the Gathering? Never. That's a lot of money. Nothing knocking Magic the Gathering. I know in high school, I was always intimidated by the Magic players. The Magic players, like, they kind of scared me. So I stuck to, like, Hero Clicks. because they were very like on it. Oh, HeroClix. There you go.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's actually where I really started with HeroClix. So, and then I dropped like in 2006 or so. But yeah, HeroClix for sure. And I have nothing against Magic the Gathering. I like other Richard Garfield games too. Like I like Netrunner a lot.
Netrunner is good.
Netrunner is good. And Keyforge wasn't too bad. So, and Robo Rally is fun.
Now here, this whole second half of the show's been canceled. We're just going to be
sorry,
talking
sorry.
About board games. No, what are you sorry for?
We could bring it back to the Ghostbusters.
No, you're fine.
This is the now show. Why we board.
This why we board.
Why we
roll. Why we roll.
Yeah. Why we roll.
There you go.
First off, I don't mind it 100%. I am sitting next to an impressive collection myself, and I still have a stack from Gen Con I haven't gotten through yet.
Damn.
Norm and I need to play through the Halo.
Do you want to see my unplayed games, by the way?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hang on. See in the camera. All right, those are my played games, right? Played games.
Uh-huh.
Those are my unplayed games.
Ryan, do you have a problem?
Maybe. Well, actually, those are kids' games, so it's okay. Yes, but that's okay. The problem is playing board games is awesome. You got to find people to play with, though. So that's the challenge. But I'm a big fan of solo gaming. So,
hey, man, love out for the Final Girl series.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, what's hitting my table this week is Metal Gear Solid, the board game, which I just got. And it is incredible. Incredible. So.
All right, because I will give you a few more minutes here just to talk about this before we move on to your franchise. Let's pretend I'm a big shot executive at, Armor Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, I got the Ghostbusters license. How do you make a Ghostbusters board game good then?
I can't. I like to berate games and play them. I don't like to design them. Because I don't want people doing the same for my games.
So what you're saying here is you have the critique, but you don't have the answer.
For sure. But I think an interesting board game for me, for Ghostbusters, is less to do with the busting and more with the management. I think, honestly, the old like Apple II, Commodore 64, NES Ghostbusters game could do very well in a board game format if it was a bit fine-tuned with the mechanics, less about the busting and more about like the divvying out and going out, you know, to different local haunts. I would prefer something like that personally. Yeah. Or a dexterity flicking game that involves magnets could also be pretty fun too, where you have to physically can't cross streams with people. So,
yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be another take I could see too. And you could flick the trap, right? How cool would that be? You could flick the trap, and actually, the Ghostbusters RPG is phenomenal.
Yeah, you know a little bit about that too.
I know a little bit that too.
Yeah,
you know,
all three of us have played it together actually.
Yes, we mm-hmm. have
several times.
Yeah.
All right, so Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the New York City Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Now, when you joined, it was kind of established, but it didn't really have an identity, or far as a charitable one?
No, it was still charitable, but we were figuring out what charity to donate to.
No, that's what I meant, like, you guys didn't have a focus on what you wanted to do, is that correct?
Well, sort of. We wanted to focus on STEM education. You know, because our slime lab is the big thing, so STEM education is great. So we wanted to give back that way. So we found charities that have to deal with STEM education. There was one, I forget the name, and I even if I remember, I don't want to blast them. But when we were talking with them, they sounded like they got it. But then they were like expecting us and like budgeting for how much money we would raise for them. And like made it seem like we were working for them. And I was like, no, this is not how that's going to work. Basically, we raise money, we give you money, that's it, you know. I don't need to reach deadlines and quotas and stuff like that. And so we didn't go with that charity. It wasn't until 2016 when one of our members, Josh Yoder, joined and suggested a charity that we donate to called the Trinity Place Shelter, which we've been donating to them since 2017. The Trinity Place Shelter is a homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth in New York. They take about like 10 to 15 kids at a time. These are kids that are kicked out of their homes, and basically they kind of get them situated to be in the city. Like, by kids, I mean like, you know, teenagers and, you know, young adults. They'll go and, you know, get them a place to live and a place to work on the average, like a year, year and a half. So we've been donating to them, and every year we go and suit up and bring the car and bring some food, and we sit with them and stuff. So, that's something we've been donating to for a while now.
That's great.
Yeah.
When you got involved, did you know you like wanted to go like completely involved? Cause there's different in, what I mean by involved is how deep you're getting on the team. Cause now you're president.
Yeah. I wanted to get in deep.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at is, you know, some people will join and they'll hang out, they'll do their events. Then you have crazy people like the three of us that dive right into it and, you know, putting out fires and starting fires. You get the idea.
I wanted to get in deep.
Yeah.
And here's why. One, I love the fan base. I love interacting with, first of all, you all. I love interacting with other hardcore Ghostbuster geeks that totally get it and want to just do this. And those of you listening as well, too. I'm sure a couple of you I love as well, if not all of you, because I probably know a bunch of you. Two, I love doing it in New York City. And I live in New Jersey, but I love doing it in New York City. Like, New York City is Ghostbusters land, you know? Right. So going into New York as a Ghostbuster, you know, there's excitement and there's electricity in there, and people love Ghostbusters in New York. Everyone loves Ghostbusters in New York. I even had a taxi driver pick me up once and told me he never saw Ghostbusters specifically because the very first day he worked was in 1983 when he was stuck in that 11-mile gridlock traffic and swore to never watch Ghostbusters ever.
That's kind of funny.
But he did pick me up, which is pretty cool. So he talked about it. I was like, yeah, you know, you just give it a shot.
I wonder if the cab driver went back and watched Ghostbusters after
that. He might have. Maybe he joined a franchise. I don't know. But, you know, with New York City, like, being a New York City Ghostbuster, like, there's a price tag with that. Like, you gotta, like, I want to commit into this. And I know it's a big deal, because a lot of people love this franchise, and a lot of people love dressing up. And, of course, everyone wants to go to New York. Everyone wants to see the firehouse. So there's this kind of, like, responsibility that I want to make sure I'm not a jerk. I want to make sure the group is in good standings, and I want to make sure that this can blow up. And I think the group is doing great, honestly. When I joined in 2014, in 2016, and I'm sure a lot of franchises too, kind of blew up in 2016. I feel like there's a lot of revitalization with the franchise because of Answer the Call, because of the Ghost Core thing. I know we got a lot more requests for birthday parties. So whether you like the movie or not, you know, we were doing a lot of stuff because of this movie. Like, Ghostbusters was back in the popular zeitgeist, you know? And it was just exciting to... I always loved going out and meeting other fans. One of my favorite moments, of course, in 2015, venturing out and doing that. So I went to Boston for the St. Patrick's Day parade. I didn't know any Ghostbusters in the Massachusetts Ghostbusters. I just knew that I was part of the New York group, and I know there's a thing at the St. Patrick's Day parade, so let me join it and find out. And some of those guys are like my closest friends now, you know? And that it's just wild that this community is like that, where I could say I have a friend in so many different states, in so many different countries. It's just wild.
That's pretty amazing, man. New York City is in, somebody asked a question in chat about the Ecto, which we'll get to because it's, you know, one of the most spectacular ones. New York City offers the most unique experience a Ghostbusters fan can ever ask for, and that is the Ghostbusters tour. I tell every person that goes to New York City to look you guys up to do the tour. If they're a Ghostbusters fan, even in the slightest, to get the Ghostbusters involved as far as the get involved with tour. Can you talk a little bit about how the New York City Ghostbusters offers something to this grand thing that any fan could get into? And you've actually done it for people all over the world.
I have. And by the way, I want to add on to that. Even if you've never seen Ghostbusters, it's still a fun tour. And even if you think, I don't need to see a tour, I know how to go around New York City. Sure.
You don't.
But no, you do. You do, that's fine. But going around with Ghostbusters is a completely different experience.
Okay? Vixen Chat says it was a great tour.
Oh, hey, yeah, thank you. Let's talk about the tour.
Because it's as far, I know you're being modest when you're, you know, when I said that you're kind of got a little bashful, but it is the grandest tour that you can do as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, I thank you.
Yes.
So we've been doing the tour for, you know, like I mentioned, since 2014, so over 10 years now. And for our walk, we have two different types of tours. We have the walking tour and our Ecto tour, which you're either going to be taking the subway or you'll be driven around in our Ecto. We offer it to any fans that want to do it. It's just that we need to make sure, email us, we have a form for you to fill out, and then we'll schedule it out for you, because it's about a 4-hour long tour that starts around 10 in the morning, ends around 2. And the tour we did in 2014, we did for Minions of Gozer, and then Sony Ghost Corps reached out and asked about, are we doing a tour, because they have contest winners from Sony International. That they're gonna, the contest was, you're gonna fly to New York City and experience a Ghostbusters tour with the Ghostbusters, you know? So I was like, yeah, we do a tour, sure. And I was like, oh man, I should probably look into a tour guide license.
Which, by the way, he is, folks.
I am now, yes. So I had to do the tour guide license, which, how that works is you're basically just put into a room and you have to do a 2-hour long test. And at the end, they tell you if you pass or you fail. I passed. Hooray. It was nerve wracking, but I passed. To know subway routes, you have to know bus routes, specifically bus ruling for below Canal Street. You have to know a lot about like where buses can park and stuff. It's a pain, but you gotta know it, and it's completely gone out of my brain now, because now it's just back with Ghostbuster location knowledge. But I love doing that tour, because every time I do the tour, there's always something new. There's always people, like random things you'll run into. People will tell you stories like, oh, you know, I'm at the 55 Central Park West, and like, oh, you know you guys are Ghostbusters, I used to live in that building, and I remember that we were trying to go to the airport and we couldn't get a cab, and Dan Aykroyd in his Ghostbusters suit actually helped us bring the luggage down from our apartment and hailed a cab in his Ghostbuster gear.
That is the most Dan Aykroyd story I've ever heard.
Well, I asked him about it and he does not remember it. So I'm sure it was a bigger deal for them than it was for him, because he's a very modest and nice guy. People would tell you all sorts of stories. We ran into, speaking of that building, we ran into Jordan Charney, the guy who Roger Delacour, not Roger Delacour, I'm sorry, Dean Yeager.
Dean Yeager.
Dean Yeager. Yes, Dean Yeager.
That was
the harder name to remember is Jordan Charney. Dean Yeager. Yeah.
Dean Yeager, he actually popped in on my tour when I did it with Dan.
It's so crazy, right?
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh, there's Dean Jaeger, and he lives at Spook Central, you know. There's all sorts of weird things. We took a picture once with someone at Spook Central. They wanted to take a picture with Ghostbusters, sure. And it was Donna Karen of DKNY that was taking a picture of us. She also lives there. So I'm like, oh, geez, this is crazy. And there was all sorts of other crazy things. We started going to the Museum of the American Indian, which stood in for the Manhattan Museum of Art. It's the Alexander Hamilton Customs House. And there were, you know, the rumor was that there were pink slime stains on the wall from the shooting of Ghostbusters 2. And we found video. There was video, home recorded video of these kids going in on the set of Ghostbusters 2, and like Dan Aykroyd's all covered in the slime and stuff. They were definitely shooting like the New Year's night fight. So it was cool to see like around that area if pink slime would be there. But then doing the tour, just constantly doing the tour, we ran into someone that actually knows the story behind the pink slime stains. And basically, they had a slime gun that went off accidentally, and you could hear around the whole place, I don't know if I could curse on this, but S word.
probably not. We appreciate it.
No worries. And sure enough, there was just pinks, you know, that was that pink slime, and they cleaned it off. Is that marble is so porous that slime stain is still there from that time. So
it's otherworldly when you get a chance to see it for your first time, because I did during Afterlife, and it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talked about the ghosts in there too, because allegedly there's ghosts in there. So it was pretty
exciting. That was very kind of you to let me do.
Yeah. No, my pleasure. And I love doing that sort of stuff, you know. Like, I want this tour to be as personal and exciting for you as it is for me as well too. Like, we did a tour recently for a family, and aside from Ghostbusters, they love Hamilton. So we stopped at the old Trinity Church, where it was Hamilton's burial site. So they got to see, like, you know, like his tombstone and stuff, and all the people, like, you know, all his whole family was all there. So, you know, we took them around there. There was, you know, with doing the tours for the contest winners, most of them don't care about Ghostbusters. You know, the contest winners just, I got a free ticket to New York City, you know? So, you know, I showed them the Ghostbuster filming locations, but I asked them, like, what do they want to see? So, you know, would stop at, like, the John Lennon Imagine Memorial. There was one tour that I was not doing, but Josh was doing, and it was a family from Russia, and they did not speak any English, even though the tour company told us, yes, they do speak English. Spoke no English. They went to the tour locations, and it was not going well. So they asked, you know, he finally just broke down, like, what do you want to see? And like, Home Alone. So, okay, they took him to the Home Alone hotel. And then, like, where do you want to go now? Apple Store. So, you know, he took him to the Apple Store, and they just bought a bunch of iPhones. It was just, you know, like you got, like, the thing with tours is you got to just roll with what the audience wants. So if they want to go to the Apple Store with the Ghostbusters, like, hey, why not? You know, like, I went, the Dynasty Jaeger, when they came from Germany over to the U.S., I asked them, you know, this is your first time in New York City. Other than Ghostbusters, is there something you really want to see? And they said, yeah, we want to go to Wendy's. So I'm like, all right. So I took them to the Wendy's directly across street from Empire State Building. Because I'm like, all right, if we're going to go to Wendy's, might as well go, I guess, to like the touristy area of Wendy's. So we did, and they loved it. And then I blew their minds. So I'm like, guys, if you like Wendy's, you should try Five Guys. And that blew their minds, Five Guys. So.
Now, your car is, in my opinion, the most accurate of its kind.
Okay. The 2016 film.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at here, because yeah. I wanted to get back to that question. XP Bandit wanted to know, what kind of car do you drive? And I can say I've been in it to go get ice cream when I was a part of Mr. Hoffman's wedding. Mm-hmm. it's a really cool experience driving in that car, but I will let Ryan talk about it.
It is a very fun car to drive. It's a 1983 Cadillac Fleetwood Hearse. We bought it from a guy who makes movie car replicas as his hobby, and he sold it to us to make room for the Mach 5. I don't know if he has finished the Mach 5, but that's what he worked on. And we tricked it out. It's the license plate is Ecto NYC, because Ecto 1 has been taken, and we don't want to get into that old can of worms.
No, we're good.
So we have our Ecto, and we love it. It's got low mileage and lots of trunk space, which is great because it's a hearse. Of course, it's going to get low mileage and lots of trunk space. We are very good friends with a local mechanic, because we're there pretty frequently with the car. it's so the car is co-owned by five of us privately. So we co-own it, but it's not, so it's not part of the group. It's just that we use it in the group. So that's the legality portion. But yeah, it's a fun ride, and we do a lot of fun things with it. I get away with a lot of stuff in that car. There was one time when I missed a turn for an event that we would be running late to, and it would add another like 10 to 12 minutes to the drive at least. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, that's not good. So I got to a red light. As soon as the red light happened, I turn on the sirens and the lights, and I just do a Yui like right in the middle to just turn around. And there's a cop on the corner, and I'm like, oh man. And he's just like, go, just go. He's waving me down, just go. You know, so I'm like, yeah, okay. So I get away with a lot of stuff in that car. There was a time when a cop tried to drag race me on First Ave. I did not do that though. That would be bad.
XP Bandit, you could probably look at their car. Does the car have its own Facebook page or go through?
It does not. But if you go to our website, nycghostbusters.com, there should be a picture of the car there.
We will make sure that gets linked up for all of you chatters. You can see it, and it will also be in the show notes.
A great website you could find pictures of a car on.
We're going to get to that here at the very end.
Okay. Then we'll get to it at the end. But there's pictures to come.
It's funny me and you are actually talking right now, because I was just organizing my collection of something recently, and I came across this, and I remember it came from you specifically from our first time we ever met.
There's a challenge coin.
Yes. I have your patch as well, but the challenge coin always was special to me.
So that challenge coin, I'm very happy. I think our challenge coin is great.
I would agree.
Our challenge coin. It's the front of our app. The front's our Apple. The back is the containment unit drawn by Dan Schoening. And we reached out to him if we could use it for our challenge coin. He gave us a thumbs up to use it for our challenge coin. That challenge coin is great. I know it was one of the earliest things we had in the group, because Eric, the president, is also he was NYPD at the time. And he has a military background. He works at the military. He's in charge of the band equipment for the military. He was very much about having a really legit looking challenge coin. And that challenge coin, my challenge coin, I think I have another one somewhere, but the challenge coin I used for a while, actually double-sided taped to the hood ornament on our Ecto, and it's been on there since.
Yes, it has. Is there anything else about the New York City Ghostbusters that I'm not touching on?
Yeah. I would love to talk about the Slimer puppet.
Yes, please, because there's a rivalry between a couple of us.
There is a rivalry, and I don't know if this is true. So let me know if this is not true, but I do think I am the first Ghostbuster cosplayer to have a puppet Slimer as part of his getup.
Be between you and probably Andrew at Circle City.
I had mine since 2011.
I'll have to find out them. Yeah, that's a question. But I'll put it up in the group chat, Ryan, and whether for us the why we bust, but yes, not why we bust, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So I love that puppet. So that puppet came about because we needed a Slimer for Minions of Gozer. And when we talked about it, I was like, hey, I know a guy who does puppets, because when I was in college, I had a paid internship that paid too much. So I started buying dumb stuff. One of which was, how fun would it be to have a Muppet likeness of myself? So I did. I bought a Muppet likeness of myself, and I was so excited. I was like, yeah, it'd be great. I'm going to send pictures to this guy. And I was like, I love Ghostbusters, so put a Ghostbuster shirt on. But then, you know, I asked him, like, what size do puppets wear? 4T? Great. So anytime I bought a t-shirt online, I bought a matching one in size 4T.
Do you still have this thing?
I still have this thing.
I need Puppet Ryan out more often.
Well, I'll tell you this. As soon as Puppet Ryan came, I hated it. I was terrified. I was like, this is a bad idea. This was a bad idea to have a puppet likeness of myself. So I buried it, basically. It's in like an old-timey looking suitcase.
Oh, that thing's haunted.
It looks haunted. It's a haunted suitcase. Yeah, it's like velvet lining inside. That's funny. And it is stored away in my attic. So that's where it is. But when it came time to finding a puppet, I knew a guy, so I reached out to him, and we talked about different kinds of Slimers. Like, you know, I wanted something more Ghostbusters 1, so I didn't want tongue with my Slimer. I did it, and I wanted him to be a bit more bulbous, you know, like how Slimer is, like, more rounded and kind of. And the particular skin for him, we went for a lighter, paler green, because we're doing the shadow cast in a dark room. So having a lighter, paler green would translate better in darker rooms than like a darker green. So that's what we went with. And I love that Slimer. That Slimer is great. So he is, 2011? So he is 14 years old, which is roughly 14 times 3 years old. So that's the Slimer story, and he's been part of our group since too.
So we have a couple more minutes here left in the show, and XP Bandit asks a great question. If you were able to design your own original arch nemesis Ghost to Bust, what would it be like? Conversely, if you were to create your own good ghost buddy companion, what would it be like?
Well, I already have a good ghost buddy companion. Slimer is very much a good ghost buddy and not like a bad, you know. I don't know. I'll come back to that. Let me come back to that and think about the arch nemesis.
Sounds good. This is also what I like to call the shameless plug part of the show.
Yeah.
After we get done here, you guys get to go over. You can, if you so choose, go over to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/BobAfterDarkPlays. Been playing Luigi's Mansion for a GameCube, which is very Ghostbuster-y in and of itself.
It is.
And I could say that without being upsetting anybody, because I'm on the camera and nobody else's. So
yeah,
I get shameless plug myself here. So if you guys want to go hop on over to my Twitch channel, Norm will put a comments in all of the chats for you guys to see. Thanks, Norm. sorry. All right, Ryan, you are one of five admin on a really amazing project.
The best project.
And yes, and what I mean by the database project amazing, I'm going to be a little biased because I'm also one of the five on the project, but can you tell us briefly about the who you're going to call .org project?
Who you going to call .org? So first of all, yeah, I love being part of this group. So when Bob, both you and Jacob handled the map project. I remember you thinking that this would be a cool website. this would be cool if it was interactive. So a year later, we did a birthday party for this family, And the mom asked if there was a group in North Carolina that does this because they have a she has a nephew there that would love Ghostbusters at his party. So, you know, I'm trying to find anything on Facebook, not really succeeding. So I ask you guys, and you gave me a couple different options. I'm like, oh, great, cool. So let me send this forward. And I said, guys, you know, this would be a really cool website if we could just make a list that people could just look up. So I registered, you know, and I registered the domain ghostbusters.directory as a way to link to this. And then the new year happens, and I get a message from Bob saying, hey, you ready to work on this website? And I was like, yeah. So, but I told him, if we're working on a website, I know how I want it to look. I know what I want to use, but I don't do anything on the back end. But I know who I'm going to ask, and I did. And I asked my good friend, Pete Natale of the Hudson Valley Ghostbusters, to handle the back end. Because he's a good back end nerd.
He is a good nerd in general.
I'm a front end nerd.
I'm a neither nerd. I just hang out with the project. That's all my job is.
Well, you're like our
he can link comments to whoyougonnacall.org, but not my Twitch channel.
Well, this is Ghostbuster related.
I know that. Thanks, Norm.
And if you want to see pictures, if you want to see pictures of Ecto, you go to whoyougonnacall.org/NYCGB, and then you'll see our Ecto there.
Yes.
Along with two other Ectos as well, too. We have two other Ectos in our group. Both of them are Ecto Magnums. Carry on.
No problem. I was just picking on Norm real quick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, can you throw up a link to this? He's like, yeah, sure. And then nothing.
It's okay.
With his Tony Stark looking beard.
Maybe we'll add Bob After Dark to whoyougonnacall.org.
Can Bob After Dark be... Thanks, Norm. Can Bob After Dark be considered a franchise? Don't answer that question, please.
But I do think we are. We already established we're already a franchise, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Norman. We are, yes.
We are the Spatula City Ghostbusters.
The Spatula City Ghostbusters.
Are in charge of whoyougonnacall.org.
All right. Now, Ryan, we are hitting towards the very end, tail end of our show here.
There's still so much I want to talk about.
I know, which means we just need to have you back on for a round two.
Oh, my goodness. There's still the toy drive.
I know, but the show's an hour.
All right. Well, thank you
for
having me.
For the first time, for the first time ever, I will extend it to 8:15.
No. That's okay.
No.
I want to be back.
Okay, so that just means you're coming back.
I'll be back.
Okay, you promise?
I promise.
5 years later.
5 years later.
You're not upset?
Not upset.
Okay, are you sure? Because I'll extend it.
Keep people wanting more.
Okay, that's fine. Ryan, I have the most important question I have to ask you is,
yeah,
why do you bust?
Makes me feel good.
It's a good answer.
What about the other most important question, Bob?
Oh, what's the other most important question?
Do you have a name for your proton pack?
Oh, yeah. Do you have a name for your proton pack?
I don't have a name for my proton pack. I know people that do. I'm not one of them.
Do you have a name for Slimer?
Yeah, it's Slimer.
Oh, I meant a nickname.
No. Oh, yes, we do. When you guys are involved, East End Crust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan, I really appreciate you coming on. It's always easy doing interviews with people that, like, do this type of thing as well, because you just made the time fly by.
Yeah, man. And I'm ready for more.
Exactly. We appreciate you 1,000,000%, and thank you for having us.
I'm so happy to be here, and I look forward to listening to more Why We Bust.
Norm, do you have any questions for Ryan?
No.
Good job, Norm.
Good answer.
I wasn't prepared. No one ever asked me that.
It's because I actually care. Now, everybody, before I get skidooed, I know that's a dig at Patrick because he's gone right now with baby stuff, which is totally way more important than what we got. But I could pick on him because, you know,
because he's not here.
He can't defend himself. Now, I got to say, Ryan, one more time, thank you. And for people that want to check out your Ecto, check out the tours, the whole bit, where could people find all of your info at?
Go to nycghostbusters.com, go to the very bottom, and send us an email.
Yes, I highly recommend. Norm's done the tour, too. We can't recommend the tour enough. You guys absolutely are raising money for a good charity, and I think you guys are a good example of what a Ghostbusters group should be.
Thank you. That means absolutely a lot to me.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Norm, do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Not much. Just make sure that you follow us on our social medias. Our Facebook page is down because Facebook is evil. And also remember that this is now a podcast and it's available anywhere you find podcasts are sold.
Yes, you can. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. Norm, I will let you take us out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.